Hello, my name is Paul Aronson, and welcome to another program, Tokyo Progressive's Chocopole News. And number one censored story from Project Censored in the year 2001 was the World Bank and multinational corporations seek to privatize water. And it said that global consumption of water is doubling every 20 years, more than twice the rate of human population growth. According to the United Nations, more than 1 billion people already lack access to fresh drinking water. If the current trends persist, by 2025, the demand for fresh water is expected to rise by 56% more than the amount of water that is currently available. Multinational corporations recognize these trends and are trying to monopolize water supplies around the world. Monsanto, you know that company very well, I'm sure, Bechtel, and other global multinationals are seeking control of world water systems and water supplies. The World Bank recently adopted a policy of water privatization and full-cost water pricing. This policy is causing great distress in many third-world countries, which fear that their citizens will not be able to afford for-profit water. And grassroots resistance to the privatization of water emerges as companies expand profit-taking. San Francisco's Bechtel Enterprises were contracted to manage the water system in Bolivia after the World Bank required Bolivia to privatize. When Bechtel pushed up the price of water, the entire city went on a general strike. And it goes on and on about the resistance to the privatization of water. In Tokyo Progressive's news, in fact, we did have a story about that, and that was entitled Water, but Water, Water Everywhere, but Not a Drop to Drink. That was written in regard to the last water summit, water meeting, in March of 2002. And this time in 2003, the water summit is going to be in Japan, in Kyoto. And today's program is devoted to speeches that were given in a People's Water Forum here in Japan this past spring, 2002. And the guests were Maud Barlow and Pablo Sarón. And they spoke about water issues, commodification, and the need of a strong civil society, democracy, not multinational corporations, who should govern water decisions. Pablo Sarón gave an account of the water war in Bolivia, and Maud Barlow talked about activism that her group is involved in. So at the end of the program, or in the notes for the program on the website, tokyoprogressive.org, we'll be giving a little bit of information on how you can contact some of these groups and get more information. So here are Maud Barlow and Pablo Sarón.
And thank you very much, everyone. Happy International Water Day.
ご紹介ありがとうございました。そして皆様、こんばんは。そして国連水の日、おめでとうございます。
You just heard a very powerful opening statement about the crisis of the world's water, and I don't think that we could exaggerate how serious it is.Part of the message that I'm trying to get out as I travel around the world is that the world is running out of fresh water very, very fast. So fast, in fact, that every single species on Earth, including our own, is actually in mortal danger. So not only is our population growing around the world, but per capita use is doubling every 20 years, as is industrial use. So between overusing water and the massive pollution,plus the huge movement of water through dams and diversions, we are now just beginning to understand that, by, as you heard earlier, by the year 2025, two-thirds of the world is going to be living in some amount of water shortage. One-third will be living with absolute water deprivation. So as humans are destroying the water tables above the ground, we're now...going into what's called groundwater, the underground aquifers and the rivers that run under the surface of our earth. And we're taking out water, again, so fast that some major cities are actually falling in on themselves because they've taken out all the water tables underneath them. Absolutely every country in the Middle East is facing water deprivation, or complete depletion within 50 years. 22 countries in Africa cannot support their needs of their water people, their water needs of their people now. In South Africa alone, the women walk an average of going to the moon and back 16 times a day to get water. To pay for its so-called economic miracle, which I think is in trouble, the Chinese government has staked a claim on all of the water, particularly in its north, and turned water use massively over to industrialization. Vast areas of the North China Plain are facing total drought. 400 of the cities, of the major 600 cities in China, as well as half of China's population, is now facing water shortage. Half of humanity lacks basic sanitation services, and every 8 seconds a child dies in our world from drinking contaminated water. The tragedy for us, though, is that just as we've begun to learn this, and this is now a consensus with everyone looking at this issue, people have different answers, but everyone who is studying this now agrees that there is this crisis, just as we're beginning to learn this, we're finding that governments around the world are adopting the ideology of the marketplace and abandoning their responsibility to take care of fresh water and giving it over to private sector corporations. All of our governments have been captured by what's now termed the Washington Consensus, which is an expression used to say that everyone agrees now that privatization and competition and deregulation is market-based capitalism is the only option for every single part of the world. So it's no coincidence that large transnational corporations discovered before anybody the potential in the world's water crisis, which is why I call water blue gold, fresh water, which is very, very finite. I call it blue gold. Fortune magazine says that fresh water is one of the most important investment opportunities for the future, and that the investment potential will grow at the very least at 10% a year to become a multi-trillion dollar industry. And they also say that water will become the precious commodity that determines the future wealth of nations. There are about 10 major transnational corporations in the delivery of water. The two biggest are Vivendi and Suez of France. And between them, they have over 200 million customers in 150 countries. They're aided by the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund, who are now saying, as a condition of structural adjustment to many developing countries, that they have to let these companies in to run their water systems. The behavior, the performance of these companies in countries where they have already been operating have been well documented. Huge profits, higher prices for water, cutoffs to customers who cannot pay, reduced water quality, bribery, and corruption. Water for profit takes a number of forms. One of them is the bottled water industry, which is growing at 20% a year. Last year, 84 billion liters of bottled water were sold around the world, which means that these plastic containers ended up in wetlands and forests and rivers and the garbage piles around the world. I think it's a form of collective insanity to be continuing to let the world's water quality, public water quality, deteriorate while we put our clean water in plastic bottles made from oil. Corporations are now involved in the construction of massive pipelines to carry fresh water. Others are buying wilderness land in places in Latin America, for instance, so that they can hold onto the water underneath the ground. Others are constructing huge super tankers and giant sealed water bags to transport vast amounts of water across the ocean to paying customers. Water is also protected in international trade agreements like the World Trade Organization and in all the bilateral agreements between countries. And now water as a service is going to be included in the General Agreement on Trade and Services, which all of our governments are negotiating very intensively right now. So the situation is that just as we, as a human species, should be coming together to deal with the world's water crisis, the opposite is happening. Our governments are saying, we don't know how to deal with it. And there's a massive power grab by what I call a number of water lords, a water elite that's going to control the world's water for profit, which means that water is not going to go to those who need it, it's going to go to those who can pay for it. The commodification of water is wrong ethically, environmentally, and socially. What it would mean is that we would be making decisions around water based on the commercial interests of corporations who need to have a profit, who need to have a return to shareholders, instead of environmental or social justice concerns. So I've come to Japan with my friend Pablo and others because we're trying to build an international movement to protect the world's water and to have a very strong civil society presence in Johannesburg at the World Summit on Sustainable Development this August, and then in Kyoto a year from now when the Third World Water Forum meets here in Japan. What we desperately need now is a new water ethic based on the renewal of our ties with the natural world and a reverence for water's sacred place in it. We have to build a movement based on the belief that water belongs to the earth and all species and is a fundamental human right, and that no one has the right to appropriate it for profit. In your package, you'll find a proposed water treaty that we have put together that's being launched around the world today, which calls on governments to pledge to keep water in the global commons. And we would love it if people that we're working with here in Japan would want to take this water treaty and use it as a tool to have the government of Japan declare that it accepts its responsibility to keep water as a global public commons. This time of year, the next year, the whole world will be watching Japan. The most important gathering on the issue of water to ever take place in the world will be taking place here in Kyoto, very close to here. I have a dream for that water conference, and that is that civil society's views and values will prevail. That instead of being a cause for war, the global water crisis will become the common cause for peace. And that through our work together, the peoples of the world will declare that the sacred waters of life are the common property of all of us, to be preserved for generations to come. Thank you, and I look forward to discussion afterward.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure for me to be here with you in Japan. My conference name is The Water War in Bolivia, because there was a water war in my country in the year 2000. We are going to begin seeing 3 minutes of images of this water war, and then I will begin to explain. But first, you will see why we call it a water war. Bolivia is a country located in the heart of South America. During the last 15 years, almost all the enterprises, all the public enterprises and all the services have been privatized. The electricity, the air transportation, the mining, almost everything is privatized in Bolivia. But this has changed the year 2000. What happened the year 2000? A great social conflict in the city of Cochabamba, another big battle in September of that year in La Paz, stopped the privatization process in my country. The contract that privatized in favor of the Bechtel, the water public service in Cochabamba, was broken. The Bechtel is one of the biggest American water companies. Also that year, we modified a water drinking water law that privatized the services in all the country. And we took back the private company and return it to the municipality of Cochabamba. Why the water walk Bolivia? If a person can't travel by plane, he travels by bus. If a person can't pay the electricity light, he uses a candle. If a person can eat meat, he just eats a simple soup. But what happens when a person loses his access to water? He dies. The water is life, and nobody can be taken out from life. This is the force, that's the power of water. This element that is present in most of the urban societies is reinforced in Bolivia by the vision of the peasant communities and indigenous groups. For the Aymaras, Quechuas and Guaranis, those are the indigenous groups very big in my country. The water is the blood of the Mother Earth. To speak of privatizing, commodification and giving price to water is going against centuries of social managing of water. When it was approved the water drinking law and was subscribed the contract with Aguas del Tunari Bechtel, they went against centuries of uses and mores of the indigenous and peasant communities. Which were the causes of the conflict? First, the privatization of the public service of drinking water in Cochabamba, and the authorization. So to raise tariffs in order from 40% to 100%. Second, the attempt to expropriate hundreds of small suburban systems of drinking water in order to assure the monopoly for the big corporation. Third, the intention to give to the transnational the water resources of the peasant communities. These measures were established in the contract with Aguas del Tunari Bechtel and in a drinking water law that had the number 2029 that was approved by the parliament in Bolivia in less than 48 hours. An important fact that explains why they were in such a hurry to approve this law is that the leaders from the most important political parties in Bolivia were also part of the company Aguas del Tunari. The signature of this contract was made in September 1999, and a month later was approved the law of drinking water. In December of that year began the first protest. In January 2000, there was the first blockade in the roads. In February, there was a great confrontation in the city and the land. And in April, we had this real civil war that you have saw, and that ended with a victory. The sectors that reacted against the contract and the water, the drinking water law, were the people that were opposed to the increase of tariffs. Second, the inhabitants of the neighborhoods that were afraid to lose their small water systems because the monopoly rights were given to the transnational company. And third, the peasants, the coca producers, and the communities that wanted to defend their water resources to which they had had access for centuries. All of these sectors were grouped in the Coordinadora de Defensa del Agua y de la Vida de Cochabamba. This organization emerged in November 1999, and in a couple of weeks it had absolute power, not only in the city, but also in the land of all the departments of Cochabamba. Cochabamba is not only a city, but it's also the name of a state, you can say. What was the social cost of this water war? Oh, excuse me. In April 2000, the contract with Aguas del Tunari was broken, and the water drinking law was modified in 38 articles of the 82 that this law has. It was the first time in the history of Bolivia during the last 15 years that a law was changed in such many articles because of a social pressure. What's the social cost? 9 dead and 100 injuries, some very serious, during the water war. Dozens of prisoners and confined, and a state of siege that lasted just a few days because the process was so big that the government just went backwards, and the state of siege just, I think it was only for 4 days. During this blockade, the country lost $90 million because the roads were destroyed. Because when you make a blockade, you put stones, and not only in one part, but there were hundreds of blockades all around. And there was also a loss of $70 million in goods that couldn't be sold, because they couldn't go out to the markets because of the blockade. What's the responsibility of the World Bank, the IMF, and the Inter-American Development Bank? Here, this is the text of a press article. We have a lot of them to demonstrate, but this was published the 1st of July of 1997. And it says, multilateral organizations press the government. The Bolivia debt of $600 million can be forgiven if SEMAPA, that's the name of the water company in Cochabamba, is privatized. The International Monetary Fund and the World Bank will define the next week the actions in favor of Bolivia if the government privatizes the water service in Cochabamba, says President of Bolivia, Gonzalo Sánchez de Lozada, that was the president of 1997. The condonation of $600 million of multilateral debt from Bolivia on behalf of World Bank, International Monetary Fund, and the Inter-American Development Bank could be executed until the next week if it's concluded the privatization program of the water drinking company in Cochabamba SEMAP. So, in my country, the government privatized that company because it was a condition of the multilateral organism. Next year, in the Third Water Forum, we want to put the case of Bolivia on the table, because also this is the responsibility of a document that came from the Second World Water Forum. The name of this document is known as the World Water Vision that was approved in The Hague in the year 2000. So we say what has happened to us is going to happen in other countries, because there is this privatizing politic from the World Bank, but also from this World Water Vision that we want to change. What has happened since April 2000? The Bechtel company is trying to collect a compensation of $25 million from Bolivia, even though they only invested during 7 months that they were in my country $500,000. Second, the government defers the approval of the bylaws for the new law we conquer in order to avoid its full implementation. Third, the government and the neoliberal parties sabotage systematically the public drinking company SEMAPA to demonstrate that the Coordinadora is inefficient and that the privatization is the only way. Fourth, the government is using more and more repression against the social protest and following up the American embassy instructions in order to open trial against the principal leaders. And the last thing, one of the most worst, is political and private groups are trying to approve an underground exportation water law from a very dry part of Bolivia to the mining companies in Chile. Today, this is the new chapter of the water war in Bolivia. If the government and the corporations achieve to approve a water exportation law, even only in a part of Bolivia, the privatization and commodification of water will have won a decisive battle. Which are our challenge at an international level? The water war in Bolivia is a prelude of the water war in the world. During these two last years, the warriors of life and water in Bolivia have arrived to the conclusion that it's not possible to defeat definitively the privatization of water inside a country, inside only a country. The water is a vital resource that goes through frontiers and from country to country. What we need is a universal statement of water, as well as there exists a universal statement of human rights. We have to advance toward an international treaty of water that establishes some important issues, like the water belongs to all the living species, including humans and the earth itself. Water doesn't belong only to man and to companies. Nobody can privatize what belongs to everybody. The water cannot be treated as a merchandise, and the assignment of water resources must be given through solidarity mechanism in harmony with the nature. We think these principles should be in an international water treaty. There is a danger that we must defeat before it's too late. This danger is the international exportation of water. If this continues under international corporate rules, the privatization and commodification would have won. We need an international campaign in order to defeat this threat, this danger, and we must discuss concrete actions in this sense. To finish, allow me to remember the soul and the courage of all the water warriors that have been killed in Bolivia and the world. Thank you very much. Arigato.
Perfecto distingo lo negro del blanco y en el alto cielo su fondo estrellado y en las multitudes al hombre que yo amo. Gracias a la vida que me ha dado tanto, me ha dado el sonido y el abecedario, con él las palabras que pienso y declaro, madre, amigo, hermano y luz alumbrando la ruta del alma del que estoy amando. Gracias a la vida que me ha dado tanto, me ha dado el oído.